Who or what are you listening to? Who or what are you listening to? Because there are a stack of different voices that are chattering. There's lots of noise. There's lots of voices that are all actually competing for your attention. Now, some of those voices are good and positive and useful voices to listen to. Some of those voices are bad and negative and are not useful voices to be listening to. You know, what are some of the voices that you have that are constantly speaking to you? Maybe your parents or your family are one of those voices that are constantly speaking to you. Maybe your teachers at school are one of those voices that nag you and annoy you by telling you to do your schoolwork. Maybe the television is a voice that is constantly speaking to you. You know one of the ways you can actually stop listening to the television's voice? Just turn it off for a little while and you'll be able to hear the sound of silence, perhaps, at home. The television is competing for your attention. Magazines, if you still read magazines, books, they're all competing for your attention. They've all got a voice. They've all got something that they're saying that they want you to listen to. Your friends are another one of those voices in your ears. Some of them might be Christian friends, and so the things they're saying might actually be encouraging you and building you up. Some of them might be non-Christian friends, and so the things that they are saying to you might actually be tearing you down, might be discouraging you, might be encouraging you to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. Christian friends, non-Christian friends. The internet is another huge voice that is constantly speaking to us. We have the internet on our mobile phones. We're constantly connected. We're always hearing these voices. We're always checking the latest thing that we want to hear about. We're always checking our friends' status updates on Facebook. We're always checking out what's going on, and we always need to be connected. We always need to be hearing from these different voices. Commercials, ads, billboards. There's voices everywhere. You can't escape all of these different voices. Your favourite band has some type of message that they want to pass on to you. Your favourite movie stars, celebrities. There are all of these different voices that are constantly speaking and are constantly competing for your attention. Which ones are you listening to? Which ones are you ignoring? Which ones are influencing you? Which ones are influencing you for good? Which ones are influencing you for bad? You see, Jesus in the Bible is actually described, it says about Jesus, Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says that all things were made by Jesus and for Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. How good was that song at the end in the chorus there? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We are to be all about Jesus. We are made by Jesus and for Jesus. And what that means that you belong to Jesus. You were created by Jesus. You are owned by Jesus. Jesus owns you. And so if you were made by Jesus and for Jesus, if you belong to Jesus, if you are owned by Jesus, it means that therefore the most important voice that you need to listen out for is actually the voice of the one who made you, is the voice of the one who owns you, is the voice of Jesus. And so are you listening to Jesus? Are you hearing his voice? What we have here is the Bible. What you have on your lap or the person's lap beside you is the Bible. And this is the very word of Jesus. And so amidst all of those voices that are competing for our attention, we need to be those who listen to the voice of Jesus. You know, you can't ignore every other voice that's in the world. You need to obey different voices in the world. The street sign that says stop, you need to stop. The sign on the end of the cliff that says this is a cliff, and if you come over the fence, you're dumb. You've got to obey that type of a sign or there'll be some pretty bad consequences. So I'm not suggesting that you ignore every single voice that's in the world. Your parents probably have some good stuff to say to you sometimes. Your teachers, they might even have some good and useful things that you need to hear. But as those owned by Jesus, we need to be those who listen to the voice of Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 6, the passage that Peter read out for us, we actually see from Jesus himself, he says what it will be like to truly listen, to truly hear the voice of Jesus. And so what we see in this short little passage that's been read out for us, what we see straight away is that not all who claim to be Christian are Christian. Not all who claim to be a follower of Jesus are followers of Jesus. So have a look at Luke chapter 6. Make sure you can see it. Biography written by Luke, Dr. Luke, all about Jesus. He's kind of like a historian. He's kind of gathered all this stuff together about Jesus. And here we have Jesus teaching. He's just taught a whole bunch of cool things. And here he says at the end of this little section, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So he says to some of the people that are gathered around, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not actually do what I say? What does he mean when he uses that word Lord, Lord? What does the word Lord mean? It kind of sounds like this ye olde English. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, me Lord. Or, you know, what does the word Lord mean? The word Lord just basically means boss, ruler, master. And so what is Jesus saying? He's saying, why do you call me boss? Boss, boss. Why do you call me master, master? Why do you call me ruler, ruler? Well, why do you call me your master, but you don't actually do what I say? You see, there's people who actually claim to be Christian, claim to follow Jesus, but they don't follow through with what they claim. They say Jesus is their Lord. They say Jesus is their master. They say that Jesus is their boss, but they don't do what he says. They say, I'm a Christian, but they don't live as a Christian. They say they're a follower of Jesus, but they don't actually follow Jesus. They don't actually obey Jesus. They don't actually do what Jesus says to do. And so, one of the things I love about camps like this, you know, camps that go for 2 days are awesome. Camps that go for 4 or 5 days are even better. You take a good chunk of time and you get to actually think about life. You get to think about the Bible. You get to think about where you're up to with Jesus. And so these next few days are a golden opportunity for you to reflect upon where you are at with Jesus. Do you call Jesus Lord, Lord? If you do call Jesus Lord, Lord, if you do call Jesus your King, do you actually follow through with him and live with him as your King? If you call him your boss, do you actually live with him as your boss and do what he says? Here's my guess. My guess is there's probably some here, in a room this big, I'm confident that there are some here who claim to be Christian, who claim to be followers of Jesus, but you don't actually follow through with following Jesus. You say, hey, I'm a Christian, and maybe you turn up to a youth group or a youth club, you might turn up to a Bible study, you might turn up to church. Yet every other day of the week, it'd be pretty hard to discern that you are actually a follower of Jesus, that you are actually putting the word of Jesus into practice. And so these few days, as we dig into the Bible, are an opportunity for you, if you claim to be Christian, to actually say, well, am I following through with claiming to be Christian? Am I actually a Christian? Am I actually following Jesus? And there might be some of you here who are like, well, of course I'm not following Jesus. I don't claim to be a Christian. That's cool. Really glad you're here. You're going to hear about Jesus. You're going to hear about the stuff that he taught. You're going to hear about the things that he did. And you're going to hear about what it means to follow him. But just claiming to be a Christian, just going to church, Bible study, youth group, even a Christian school, that doesn't make you a Christian just by being there. On a Christian camp doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. It doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting at McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger. Just being in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just being in McDonald's doesn't make you a cheeseburger. Just being at this gathering, just being in a church, just being in a youth group doesn't make you a Christian. You go there if you are a Christian, just like cheeseburgers like to hang out at Macca's, because that's a cool place to be if you are a cheeseburger. But just claiming to be a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. And so, with what Jesus is about to say, it actually comes down to how you respond to him, how you respond to his voice, what type of listener you are. And so have a look at verse 47, the next sentence. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. What's he saying in verse 47? He's saying, I'm going to show you what a real Christian is like. I'm going to show you what a real, true follower of me is like. And so what he does in the next few verses is he compares two builders. And what we see is that only one builds on a foundation that stands firm. He compares two builders and only one builds on a foundation that stands firm. So let's look at the first guy, verse 48. This is the one who actually puts Jesus' words into practice. This is the genuine follower of Jesus. Have a look at verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. He is the one who actually has the good foundation. He is the one who actually digs down deep enough such that when the storm comes, when the torrent comes, when the tsunami sweeps through, when the tidal wave crashes upon this house, it stands firm because the foundation is so deep and it's upon a rock. And so this is the picture of the one who hears Jesus and obeys Jesus. Hears Jesus and builds their life upon Jesus. This is the foundation that stands firm. But have a look at verse 49. This is the builder who does not do the same as the builder in verse 48. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. See, here's this one that doesn't dig down deep. Here's this one that doesn't build on that rock deep down upon that foundation, such that when the torrent comes, when the tsunami sweeps through, when the cyclone crashes, this one is destroyed. When the tough time comes, this one crumbles under the pressure. Now, I don't know if you noticed in verse 48 and verse 49, but both of them, both builders actually heard the word. Both actually heard. It doesn't say one listened and one didn't listen. It actually says both of them heard the word of Jesus. Both of them hear. The first one, though, he hears and puts into practice. But verse 49, the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice. So there's kind of two types of hearing. You can hear, but not really hear. You can, you know, if someone actually says, hey, look, there's a bomb in this building. Get the heck out of here. There's two types of hearing. You can go, whoa, I heard that. I'm getting the heck out of here. The other type of hearing is, whoa, I heard that. Let me update my status on Facebook. Let me check my email. Let me go and read the newspaper online. Let me play a surfing game online. Both of them heard the message of there's a bomb in this building, get the heck out. One of them went, whoa, I'm getting the heck out. The other went, whoa, this is a gnarly wave on the internet here, man. You know, there's two types of listening. Both of them hear, but only one of them puts into practice. And here's one of the things, having worked in youth ministry for the last 14 years, I've met stacks of teenagers who know all the answers. Man, you sit down in a Bible study, just got a Bible. Man, they know everything. They know the answers. But it's not all about just knowing the answers. It's actually about putting the things that Jesus says into practice. It's about following through in following Jesus with your whole life. And so just knowing the answers is not enough. You know, the person who hears the message of, hey, there's a bomb in the building, get the heck out of here, you know, they go and sit down and go on and do with whatever they're doing. You can ask them, hey, what's the current situation in this building right now? Oh, there's a bomb in the building and we should get the heck out of here. But they've obviously shown that they haven't understood that message by remaining in the building. And so you can actually know the answers. You can claim to be a Christian. You can claim to be a follower of Jesus, but not actually put the words of Jesus into practice. You see, where you build
your house in this story that Jesus tells matters.
The foundation that you build upon matters. And so I'm going to have some pictures that are going to pop up on the screen from a place called Wongrel Beach, which is near Terrigal Beach, which is on the central coast, where I grew up, just north of Sydney. And this place is called Wongrel Beach, and in the 1970s, there was a significant storm on one particular night. And the storm was so significant that there was two houses in particular that just went into the ocean. They couldn't stand the test of that torrent. That's now a surfing spot called Ruins. It's called Ruins because there's nothing there now. You park your car and then walk over a vacant block where there was once a house. And so what happened when this place had the storm that hit it? Well, here's another angle. This is crazy. Like, the whole house, once this storm hits it, once this torrent strikes it, you know, you can't really dig a particularly deep foundation when you're kind of on the shore of a beach like that. And so this was kind of inevitable. And over the last few years, you know, the water's been crashing closer and closer, and they've actually been building walls to try to keep the rest of the houses from falling in the water as well. But what I want you to notice in this picture here is just how close. I think the people all got out. No one died on this particular storm, luckily. But check this out. Can you see up here? It's a baby's cot. It's kind of just hanging there on the edge, you know, just lingering. This wave has come and crashed and taken most of the house with it, and this baby's cot is just hanging on the edge. Where you build your house matters. Where you build your house and how you build your house and what you build your house upon matters. Now, what Jesus is saying here is he's not actually really talking about physical houses, is he? He's actually talking about life. Where you build your life matters. How you build your life matters. What you build your life upon matters. And so I think the thing that we pick up in the Bible is that as you think about building your life, as you think about the foundation to build your life upon, is that Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the rock, verse 48, that we're to build our lives upon. We are to be those who are dug down deep on Jesus. Our lives are to be dug down deep on Jesus, like a strong oak tree with roots that just go down deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, so that it's solid, so that when that storm comes, that tree ain't going nowhere, so that when the storm comes, that house will stay firmly upon the rock that is Jesus. And so what I want to do right now is urge you and encourage you as you think about the rest of life. Here's another really cool thing about a camp like this, and here's another really cool thing about working with teenagers. You haven't blown your life yet. Some of you might have done some pretty dumb stuff, but you've probably got a fair few years ahead of you, and you're kind of at a decision-making time. As you are a teenager and as you kind of get older and you move further and further out of the responsibility of your parents and you've got more responsibility and autonomy for yourself, you've actually got the opportunity to make decisions about what you will build your life upon, how you will live the rest of your life. And so, as a teenager, you can actually go, you know, the rest of my life, regardless of what the first part of your life was like, I'm going to build it upon Jesus. I'm going to put my roots into Jesus. I'm going to dig down into Jesus and be grounded upon Him, be founded upon Him. You see, this Jesus revolution that we're talking about this week is all about building your life upon Jesus. It's all about shaping everything about who you are around Jesus, around following Him. And so as we finish, the Jesus revolution is all about being radically changed by the good news of Jesus. Being radically changed by the good news of Jesus. And as those who are owned by Jesus, as those who belong to Jesus, with all this chatter that's going on around the place, with all these voices that are competing for our attention,
The Jesus revolution is actually all about listening to the voice. It's all about listening to the voice of the one who owns you, of the one who made you, of the one who knows what is best for you, of the one who cares for you, of the one who loves you. And so as you navigate all those different voices in your life and work out which ones to listen to and work out which ones to ignore, work out how much to listen to some and how little to listen to others, and you need to be someone who actually gives yourself to listening to the voice of Jesus. But don't just listen. Actually do what Jesus says. Follow through with what Jesus says to follow through with. Here's my guess though. When you hear Jesus say, you know, don't just listen, but do. You know, don't just hear my word, but put it into practice. I kind of feel a little bit guilty at that point. I kind of think, well, you know, I do hear the word of Jesus. You know, there's times I actually deliberately ignore it. There's times I know that Jesus wouldn't want me to do that, and I go and do that. Or there's times that I know Jesus would want me to do this, and I don't do this. You see, one of the problems here as we think about listening and obeying Jesus is that we all actually fail to properly obey Jesus. We all actually fail to properly put into practice what Jesus says. We all fail to live as God would want us to live, as Jesus, the voice of the one who owned you, would want you to live. You know, the good news of Jesus is that Jesus has done something to deal with our disobedience. Jesus has done something to deal with our failure. Jesus has done something to deal with our sin. And so tonight and tomorrow and as we continue in our series in Luke, we're actually going to hear of what God has done in his love for us. What God has done in his love for us through the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We're going to hear of what God has done for us through Jesus, through his death, through his resurrection, to bring about forgiveness. To mean that we can actually stand before God as his friends. To mean that we can actually stand before God as those who are forgiven. And so as those who are forgiven, and we'll continue to talk about that over the next few days, let me challenge you as we do that to really listen. You know, yesterday was kind of an overview of everything that we're kind of doing. But this, I guess, is a really good foundation for the rest of the week. Listen. Two types of listening. There's listening and there's listening. Do the listening thing. Really listen. And then what Jesus says, put it into practice. Obey what he says. Let me pray. Our gracious God, we want to praise you that you are a God who has spoken. Father, we thank you that you haven't left us in silence. Father, we thank you that you haven't left us just to listen to other voices, but you have spoken. And so we want to thank you for the way that you have spoken to us in your word, the Bible, and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for Jesus and the way that he speaks to us through the Bible. We thank you for his words to us today. And we pray that you'd help us to listen to Jesus. We pray that this week, as we think about life, as we think about Jesus, and as we think about what it means to follow him, we pray that you'd help us to listen to him, and we pray that you'd help us to obey him. Father, we want to thank you now again that you forgive us for when we fail. We want to thank you that we're saved not by what we do or how well we listen, but we're saved by Jesus' death on the cross for us. And we praise you, but we pray that over the next few days you would give us ears to hear and enable us, give us the faith to trust Jesus and the faith to live out as those who follow Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that you would continue to radically change us by the good news of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.